Bacho Begum. Manasa Krodha Begum. Jiva Begum. Udara Pasta Begum. Etan Vegan. Ya. Vishaheta. Dira. Sarvamapimam. Prithivim. Sasishat. Achahara Prayasascha. Prajalpa Niyamagraha. Jana Sangha Chaloilam Cha. Sabir Bhaktir Vinashati. Utsahan Nishchayat Daryat. Tatat Karma Pravartanat. Sangatya Gatsato Vrite. Sabir Bhaktir Prasidati. So this is the last day of our Upadeshamrita seminar based on, and we're discussing like general perspective, how Prabhupada apparently wrote this, and different experiences people have had in, you know, terms of preaching. And then we discussed the overview, summary, how the first verse is the same as the beginning of Nectar Devotion. Sarvapadi Vinir Muktam Tat Parat Vemanirulam. That devotion service means to engage the senses in the service of the master of the senses, Vacho Vegam, Manasa. And then Rupa Goswami discusses six things that'll make it very easy. Sorry, make it very hard. Over collecting, especially, he emphasizes. And if you can over collect, you have to over endeavor. So Achahara and Prayasash. And then loilam means just kind of thinking about it. Wow, okay. The garland of Shakti. There. Wow. Yeah. And so, over-endeavor to get more things than you need, planning to get more things than you need. And the other hand is utsahan nishchayad daryat, remaining always enthusiastic, fixed intelligence about what the goal is, how to achieve it, avoiding bad association. And finally, 4, 5, 6, he talks about association in detail, what it means, how to associate with devotees, with the Madhukari. And 7 and 8, back to the process, Nama Krishna, chant Krishna's name, then you'll appreciate Krishna's form. When you appreciate Krishna's form, you'll appreciate his qualities. When you appreciate his qualities, you'll appreciate his associates. When you appreciate his associates, you'll see his pastimes. All expands like that. And then, what else? Oh, yeah. And then do this, as Vaidhi Bhakti, rules and regulations, but also go ahead and do it as Raganuga Bhakti, sort of follow the Brij Basis, And that's really only possible in Vrindavan. Yeah. So text 9 talks about Vrindavan. Mathura, the 12 forests, Govardhan, and Radhakund. Yeah. And then he goes back to association. You can associate with Vikarmis, Karmis, Gyanis, Vimukti Gyanis, Bhaktas, Prema Bhaktas, Braja Bhaktas, Gopis, and Radharani. It's like that. There's nothing else on the scale like that. And finally, Radharani means Radhakuns. Very difficult to achieve. Upadeshamrita, ki jai. Yeah. Tonight we're going to maybe just try and just go over some, just look at some of the, maybe some of the things we had here, some notes we had, which might be a little bit different than Bhakti Shastri class. So text number 1, you can download this file, it's our annotated thing here. This is an amazing statement, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I actually this been before, I didn't admit it. But this text number, my future doesn't have this, it won't go there. Oh, does it? Yeah, okay. Okay, in his commentary on Chaitanya Bhagavat, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati mentions that this first text is also in the Hansa Giti of the Mahabharata, like that. Mahabharata, book 12, Shanti Parva, Moksha Dharma Parva. section CCC. What does that mean? Something. Yeah. Also, Chaitanya Charitamrita 3.4.103. Yeah, mentions it there like that. Yeah. And also too, in Bhagavad Gita, if you go to Bhagavad Gita 5.23, saknoti yak sak pradum prakshavira vimokshana kamakrodo bhavan vegam. And Prabhupada also talks about text number one like that. 2 + 3 is? 5. Yeah, so 5.23, like that. And maybe there's some reason like that, why it occurs like that. Yeah. Then if you go through the purport, in the beginning, it starts off talking about, you know, Purushas, Maharaj Pariksit, everybody's being pushed by their senses. He gives the example of the elephant. The elephant may take a nice bath, but he comes back out and puts dirt on his body again. So this is all from the sixth canto, the story of Ajamil, and how Ajamil had these reactions. He couldn't control himself. And the only way he was able to control himself was by purifying himself by devotional service, like that. So Prabhupada paraphrases that in the beginning of the purport. But after that, one after another, he goes through, you know, the six purushas, discussing them one after another, like that, vacho vegam, manasa, krodha vegam, jiva vegam, you know. And then he comes to, where is it? Sasya Shat, become guru. Yeah? To anuvritti. And we're mentioning almost every single text, and maybe every single text, the second half is Prabhupada's paraphrases Bhaktisiddhanta's anuvritti, his commentary. So he starts here, and he says, in his anuvritti explanation of Upadeshamrita, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati writes that our material identification creates three kinds of urges, right? Urges to speak, the urges of the mind, and the demands of the body. Right? Sannyasi serves Krishna with his mind, body, and words like that. Then he goes through and analyzes them in terms of the, again, the same thing again, vacho vegam, manasa, krodha vegam, like that. Yeah. So it's all pretty straightforward if you read everything. So many details. It talks about, for example, about the mind. And the mind's function is avirodha priti. Virodha means objection, obstacle. So the mind likes to be unrestrictedly attached to things, thinking about this, making that plan, everything else like that, you know? Socrates, he compared democracy to a donkey running downhill with a cart. He said, democracy is like a donkey running downhill with a cart behind it. So all you can do is just get out of the way and let him crash and then try and pick him up like that, you know? So once the mind becomes fixed on something like that, it's just... And the mode of passion comes. Yeah. Avirodha priti. This is the function of the mind. It likes to become attached to things. Yeah. And then yukta virodha, krodha. It's blocked and anger comes. I remember reading this and I was going to go to the bank. I was a treasurer. And some devotees said, oh, Prabhu, can you do this and that? And I became angry. And I was thinking, well, yeah, there it is. I had this plan and now it's being blocked. My mind's becoming angry. So I just renounced the plan and the anger went away. Like that. So sometimes it's very mechanical like that. You can just see, why am I angry? Oh, because I'm attached to this and that. And sometimes it's good, you know. Sometimes it's actually, you know, good to be attached to things. When Hanuman saw how Ravana was abusing Mother Sita, he had a lot of very choice words for Ravana's mother and sister like that. He was like, God damn her. He was like, can imagine how a monkey can talk when he wants to, you know. But he was angry. And Prabhupada gives his example. You know, he wasn't just tolerating or this and that. Prabhupada gives the example of Lord Chaitanya becoming angry, Hanuman becoming angry. You know, maybe three examples here. Arjuna, same way, like that. So different details, you know, one after another. Then next tag, then Prabhupada quotes the Sarira Avijajal. You think this is the mantra most likely to save us at the time of death. When you're dying, everything is confused, you don't know what to do, where to go, and somewhere you hear this voice that says, Saira Vijajal, it's like, but there's fire, there's everything else. Don't worry, Prabhu, there's prasadam, let's go, you know, like that. Yeah. And so it's a very important mantra. Actually, we have the word by word meaning here, like that. Yeah. Yeah. And then he finishes off with a very nice quotation from Jagadananda Pandit. And it's Prema Vivarta. Prema Vivarta. What does Vivarta mean? It means not varieties. It means opposed? Yeah, vibhartavad. Yeah, I mean something like that, like division, huh? Oh, transformations. Yeah, yeah, like that. So Jagannanda Pandit is an incarnation of. He was always arguing with Lord Chaitanya. Satyabhama. Yeah. And so he has a quotation from there about sannyas life. Vairagya bhai gramya kata na shunibe kane. My dear brother, you are in the renounced order of life and should not listen to talk about ordinary worldly things. You should not talk about worldly things when you meet with others. Do not think of women even in dreams. You have accepted the renounced order of life with a vow that forbids you to associate with women. If you wish to associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you must always remember the incident of Chota Haridas and how he was rejected by the Lord. Balana karibe are balana paribe. Do not eat luxurious dishes or dress in fine garments, but always remain humble and serve the Lordship Sri Sri Radha Krishna in your heart of hearts. You know? So I mentioned this is a very nice Vaishnava verse book, like that. And so this is nice for sannyasis to memorize, right? Memorize this and meditate like that. Contemplate their ashram. You know? And after that, he talks about... The Prabhupada says, one who's experienced, what does he say? The conclusion is that one who can control these six items is called Swami or Goswami. Right? Yeah. And he says that anybody who's experienced at controlling these can become guru. So people say, what's the standard for guru? But it's here. Prabhupada Goswami gives it, then Prabhupada gives explanation of each thing like that. So if we can do this, we're qualified to be guru, whether we're men, women, children, or whatever. Like that. Then Achyahara, Prayashash. And again, Prabhupada is especially focusing here. It's actually, if you go through this and analyze it, it's actually very logical, but it's kind of like this, you know, it's like that. So like, he starts off with plain living and high thinking, and then he goes into three different forces, which force us to act in this material world, acquiring too much. But if you go through and put the whole thing in line like that, you see that actually it's a whole very, very like... What's the word like? Very logical, very linear and logical. Logic how Prabhupada's developing certain ideas in relationship to each other. But if you just read it, it's kind of like he's kind of like going from one thing to the other like that. Yeah. And so, yeah. And many of these same ideas you find them in Isopanishad. Before Prabhupada ever even left India, the same ideas. As you're going through the Bhakti Shastra, you're seeing that. There actually aren't a lot of ideas you have to understand. Not a lot of concepts, really. Because the same thing is getting repeated again and again like that. You know? And it's very... somebody asked somebody one time, went through a purport, and Prabhupada quotes a verse. Okay, how many verses do you have to know so that you'll have like an 80% possibility of knowing the next verse Prabhupada quotes? Some verses he quotes like, you know, one time or something like that. You know, but how many verses do you think you have to know? About 80% of the verses Prabhupada quotes come from what basis like that? 20,000, 1,000, 500, 50 verses? I would say more than that, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it's about more like what people say like that. About 150 verses, you know, 80% chance the next verses you'll know it like that. Yeah, like that. So there isn't that many verses, really, you know, probably uses like that, you know. And it's not that many, what's the word, like logical structures like that. This starts off with plain living and high thinking. You know, then he says, he goes to, all of us are in the three energies of Krishna. Why does that come in? Well, because he goes and we're in the external energy. And therefore we've got to satisfy these desires for simple living and that in this material world. And that happens because of this and that. And you could rearrange it and satisfy my German mentality, having one thing after another like that, you know. But it's the same thing. It's like, you know, you eat first, we eat the sabji, then we take the puris, then we take, you know. No, you take a little sabji, you go back to puris and stuff. So I would say the Prabhupada's purports are being dictated more by tastefulness, like that. Combination of different things, different ideas, like that. You know, the sweet and salty things go well together to contrast each other. You know? But if you look at it, it's all very, very logical in terms of this linear logic like that. How he develops this idea about the three modes of material nature. We're being pushed by the different external energies. When we come under the internal potency, then we're always engaged in Krishna's service. Yeah, it's very, very logical. Yeah. Mahatmanas too, Mam Partha. Klesha, collecting more than necessary. So this is the whole thing. The whole place is emphasized, the whole purport number two is really on over collecting. He asked one time, how many saris is too many saris? Seven. Prabhupada says the ordinary girl will not be satisfied with less than two or three dozen saris. Like that. Because the thing, then the ladies are different. Man maybe have four sets of clothes in total, like that. And think about eliminating one of them, But everybody is different, ladies express themselves through their clothes more than men do. Men express themselves more through their ideas, that kind of stuff. Don't criticize my ideas, Prabhu. One devotee, had a big business, and he showed me his wardrobe. He had nine different suits. They're expensive But he said, I have to have more than seven because otherwise my employees would figure out what I was wearing every day, But he had about 240 ties. And I said, that's too much. His ties like that. He said, there's a rule of management that when the employees are in front of the manager, they have to know they're in front of the manager. You have to dress like it and have that demeanor and stuff. They shouldn't be so frightened they can't be happy and be peaceful, but they should always remember that I'm in front of the boss. So Chandikapana says the same thing. The king cannot be so frightful that people can't enjoy life, but he can't be so mild that people forget that he's the king, like that and so on. So therefore, for a kshatriya, Prabhupada says a kshatriya has to have weapons, good clothes, and social prestige to do his job. So it's not over collecting for him to have every day clothes ironed and that kind of stuff. Achahara prayasas cha prajalpa niyamagraha jana sangas choiloilam cha sabir bhaktir prasidati vinashati. Another thing is about niyamagraha. We think what does niyamagraha mean? Okay. Niyama. Following the rules and regulations too strictly or not following the rules and regulations. So I know some people, they say there's too much Mangal Artik, you start to get a little strange and stuff like that, No. You can never be too fanatical about following the rules and regulations for the purpose of spiritual advancement. That's your motive, not to become famous or get liberation or mystical powers, okay. But niyamagraha doesn't mean you can, Prabhupada says we should never be neglectful in following the rules and regulations for spiritual advancement. But those that are involved, for economic development and that kind of thing, is okay, we can be loose about that, So, one point. And it gives the example of the $100 bill lying in the street, very famous. The materialist comes along and sees somebody's wallet, he takes it like that. The jnani comes along, and he says, well, I don't want to get involved. If I pick this up, people might think that I'm taking it, so he doesn't want to get involved. But what happens when the sankirtan devotee comes along and finds a wallet there? Yeah. Or else he could send the guy a book. Whatever. This is the whole point of transcendentalists. Prabhupada says that the honest person, he finds the owner and gives it back to him, like that and so on. So many good analogies. You learn these. And that's the whole point. We're mentioning the potency is that when we actually quote the words of the acharyas, not just a concept, they had a special potency. And so somebody may not surrender to your words, but you quote the words of the acharyas, you see the difference. It actually has a potency like that. And then we see, Prabhupada quotes the Isopanishad. It's all connected. Isabhasham idam sarvam. Yeah, everything has its quota. Everybody has their quota. And if you just follow your quota, then you'll never have any kind of shortage like that. The Buddhists say, he who knows when enough is enough will always have enough. Like that. Yeah. My fairy godmother, actually, she was my godmother, Alice Boyd, she did this a very, very wonderful exercise for reducing fat. When you've eaten enough to survive, you put both hands on the table like this, and squeeze, and push very hard. Like that. Yeah. So not eating more than necessary. And the purport to Isopanishad probably says, like taking our quota, which means vegetarian food offered to Krishna. Yeah. That's when, of course, this is very wonderful. This purport is very, very wonderful for classes on economics. You use them several times like that. And because economics, it's very simple. We give very simple practical ideas. We presented this one time in Lima, and one professor of economics, he showed it to him, and he came and participated in the seminar, and he said, this is so fantastic. I was like looking for different economic theories from different places like that, and you guys came, and it's just like, wow, it's wonderful. He said, almost all the economic theories in the world are based upon the idea that there's not enough. Even everybody starts with this idea, there's not enough, and how to minimize the violence and justify, people suffering. But suppose your idea is Om Purnam Adaha Purnam, there's enough. You know, he said, it's just that nobody even thinks about that. He was very enthusiastic. You know. Then after that, the quota. You know. In the purport, Prabhupada quotes Isha Vashyam Idam Sarvam. So we should learn that, right? Isha Upanishad. Then he paraphrases Om Purnam Adaha Purnam Idam, like that. So very, very important verses from Isha Upanishad, those two. Actually, we figure three verses from Isha Upanishad are really important. Bhakti Shastri, those two, and text number 15. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukam tatvam pusham aparenu satya dharmaya drishyate. Because that directly says, it says Hiranmayena, this golden effulgence, Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukam. It's just like so direct. Remove this effulgence and show me your face. So 15, Isopanishad 15, and Bhagavad Gita 15:15. What's the relationship? I'll look it up. Sarvasya chaham hridi sanivisto matapsmita jnana ponacha vedais cha sarver aham eva vedyo vedanta ved vedakrit eva chaham. See, this is this level, talking to these big, jnanis and Sanskritists and stuff like that. If you can quote the Isopanishad 15:15, it's heavy. Do you know Sanskrit? Vedais cha sarveraham eva vedyo vedanta ved veda krid eva chaham. Yes, I know Sanskrit. I know Krishna. Yeah, that's the point. You know Sanskrit? You can say, I have a working knowledge. I have a practical knowledge of it, like that. Do you have a practical knowledge of it? Oh, well, no, they're big technicians. They're big shudras. They have so much technical knowledge, but they don't know the content, like that. So there's different, this for preaching to the Indologists and people like that. Isopanishad 15 is very nice. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. One time, Sri Dayananda Maharaj, as I remember, he was invited as a brahmachari to some conference on the Vedas. And one professor there, I think it was Professor Bharati, the famous big Sanskritist. And Maharaj was talking, and he was like, mimicking his Sanskrit and really like sarcastic about him like that, But then Maharaj, when he was talking, he's breaking his presentations, and he said, in the Katha Upanishad 2.2.13, it says, Nityo nityanams chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. And Professor Bharati responded by, why did you say that? Why did you quote that? Why did you quote that? Why did you quote that? It was like frightening. It was like, he just like was popping a hole in the balloon. the guy's whole ego just collapsed, and he started acting like people were afraid he was going to do something, you know, disgusting or something like that. It was like it was because he knows, you know, the Upanishads, their potency, and these Sanskrit, these circles like that. So Prabhupada has given us, the Acharyas have given us these really potent tools. We don't realize, you know, just the things. He was just quoting what Prabhupada said like that. This guy falls apart, you know. And so if we just know Prabhupada's books, we meet so many people and just talking, you discover that we have a very, very potent culture and philosophy like that, you know. And it's simple. In the end, we can't convert everybody. People want to be dogs, hogs, dogs, and camels and asses, and it's not going to be possible. But many people, we have a very good presentation for dealing with Indologists, for dealing with the, economists, like that. Enough so people should be interested to buy the books, yeah, and read them themselves like that. I remember one time, oh God, we were going from Lima in Peru, we're supposed to go up to Chiclayo or Arequipa, this is the same thing, like that, not Arequipa, Trujillo. But then there was like a strike because the miners were pumping all these like, you know, high-tech minerals with water out to the ships. And they would go to North America and Europe. They would make, you know, Palm Pilots and cell phones, and, you know, all these miners suffer in the caves like that. But then the government wouldn't let a pump put their tube under the road or something like that. You know, so they had a big strike. You know, so all the big expensive buses wouldn't go. You know, so finally we had to go someplace else. We were already like 3 hours late. We got there. And there's all these low-class buses leaving this area, and we jumped on Eric the Red, like that. And he took off like that. And the whole program the next day. And we came, and the army had chased the guys away at night. They let them have a strike during the daytime, but at nighttime they closed it down, you know. So then we're going through, the bus driver was going off the road to get past these guys and bouncing around. And these Peruvian ladies were throwing potatoes out the windows like that, at the strikers like that. Hare Krishna. So these Peruvian ladies were throwing potatoes at these strikers like that. And, you know, we finally made it through. Then we got to Chiclayo, like, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning. Took rest. Yeah, you know. Then we got up the next morning. He woke us up. He said, "No, we got to go right away. There's a program right away. We haven't channeled my rounds. No, we got a program set up." You know. So he went in the first program. And what it was now? Oh, what was that? Maybe literature or something like that. Okay, we did a whole program like that. He said, "No, next program, down the hall." That was economics, and all the classes on economics were there, and I made the same presentation. I didn't know what it was. It was just like that, okay, use Upanishad. And the whole presentation, they were satisfied. Maybe 250 students. Okay, chat me around. "No, now we have to go to medicine. The dean of the School of Medicine, all the senior faculty members will be there," like that. "You have to go talk about medicine." "Medicine?" "Medicine." So I did Sankhya and the body and everything else, and they bought a full set of Bhagavatams like that. So the use of Upanishads, Bhagavatams. Then what happened? Then it was like afternoon or something like that. And it said, "No, okay, now we can turn around. No, now we have to go to a lower income high school, and they're staying after school to hear a lecture on ethics and morality," like that. You know, imagine like a bunch of low class. Kids, you know, boys being held after school to hear a lecture on ethics and morality. Like, what kind of audience you're expecting? And you go there, and you're all sitting there, like, you know, staring at you. Oh God, yeah. But in the end, we were giving stories and stuff. In the end, they were really happy. They liked it, you know, and stuff. So okay, now it's like 7 o'clock. Oh my God, now we get chat. No, now there's one professor. He's what do you call it? He's not Jehovah's Witness. Masonic guy, and he has this lodge meeting. They've organized the lodges. He went there, and the next morning I had this headache I could not believe, you know. So he called the doctor in Peru, Ayurvedic doctor in Peru, and he said, "Feel his feet, feel his waist, feel his throat." He said, "As far as I can tell, he's about, you know, 2 centimeters away from a brain stroke," like that. He said, "What are you doing?" You know. So, but this is the fact, is that if you just basically just taking everything from Upadeshamrita, you find so much material, you know, for dealing with economists, for dealing with everybody like that. It's such a complete book. Then if you follow the references, you know, Prabhupada quotes Isu Upanishad, you look them up like that. A very, very complete, you know, text like that. And here, Achahara Prayasascha. Okay, then Utsahan Nishchayat Daryat. Here, Prabhupada especially talks about enthusiasm. What is enthusiasm? Remember that? How does he define it? Huh? Yeah. Enthusiasm is action executed in Krishna consciousness with intelligence. And intelligence, Prabhupada defines as knowing what is the goal and knowing how to get it. And so if you lost your enthusiasm, you can always find it in your intelligence. Just calm down and just be thoughtful about things. You know? And the thing is, what's wrong here? I've lost my vision. I've lost where I'm going. I don't know. And I've been a devotee for 5-6 years, and I just kind of got caught up in the process, and I really forgot why I became a devotee. You know, and so I just take some time off here and get back and get the goal in mind, like that. You know? Okay, it's a really great goal, but I can never do that. Ah, okay, here's the process. Here's the process. And then you be enthusiastic. That's what I want to do, and I can do it. You know, so take the first step like that. So enthusiasm is defining as action executed in Krishna consciousness with intelligence. Utsahan, nishchayad. What's the example of nishchayana from the Bhagavad Gita? Nishchayana, determination. There's an example of it, and Prabhupada quotes the word nishchayana. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. She was determined. Actually, we did a puppet show when devotee Lokanath and his wife had marionettes, everything, big puppet shows. So yeah, it was a shadow puppet show. Really good. And the sparrow was coming, and he had this thing made the noise of the ocean, like that. You know? And the other birds would come and laugh at her. Like that, you know, stuff. And then finally, he had a big gong, like, bong, and this big foot came down. Garuda. You know? Hey, she's my friend. Like that. Unless you give her eggs back, I'm going to take over. And the ocean came, little plastic waves like that. You know? And Prabhupada says, God helps those who help themselves. Yeah, it's an English phrase. God helps those who help themselves. Yeah? So that's nishchayana. You know, sometimes, how determined do you have to be? Right? Unlimitedly. Sometimes you're trying to do something and it just doesn't work. You know, so you try again. Doesn't work. You try again. Doesn't work. You try again. How many times do you try? Unlimitedly. Like that. It's always an example of Abraham Lincoln, our president. He ran for like city council. He lost, you know. Then he ran for like the county manager. He lost. He ran for state senator. He lost. Then he ran for president of the United States, and he won, you know. So the phrase they use is, you haven't been defeated until you give up trying. Right? You haven't lost until you stop trying, like that. Of course, then he was killed, so maybe he should have, like, gotten the mess. Maybe God was trying to, like, save his life. I don't know. Like that. Yeah, because then, other one, utsahan nishchayad, patience. And Prabhupada says, without patience, it becomes passion. But one lecture, he says, enthusiasm is more important than patience. Like that. In the end, we should be enthusiastic. Well, probably I'll wait, I'll do this and that. That's good, but no, come on, let's make some plan. Let's try and solve this problem. Let's try and make some advancement, do something, you know. And then, okay, but, you know, calm down, you know. Where am I going? I don't know. What am I doing? I don't care. All I know is I am on my way. Boat of passion, come along. Mode of passion, sing a song. All I know is I am on my way. You know, that's it. There's no intelligence like that, you know. So some patience like that. Utsaha nishchayad daryat. Yeah. And anything special. I'm kind of looking for kind of points that are like, you see Prabhupada quotes on Yabhilasita Sunya. In the purport, Prabhupada starts off, and sometimes you wonder why. Why is he talking about this? Devotional service is not a matter of sentimental speculation or imaginative ecstasy. Its substance is practical activity. Sri Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, Anyabhilasita shunyam jnanakarmati anavritam anukoyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktivutama. What does the word shilanam mean? Yeah, cultivation, activity. So that's why it's following there. Prabhupada's giving this as enthusiasm, as uttama bhakti, like that. What's the verse number? Huh? Yeah, 1.1.11. Okay, you remember that? 1111. Yeah. And the four nutshell verses of Bhagavad Gita? What are those verse numbers? Huh? 10:8, 10:9, 10:10, 10:11. 108, like that. Nutshell verses. Yeah. So that's it makes why. That's probably he's taking this verse and he almost paraphrases it, the enthusiasm. And he says right here, actually I put it in there, bhakti is a sort of cultivation. Cultivation means activity. Then he identifies activity as shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam. And amongst that activity, the first activity is hearing. And therefore we should select carefully who we hear from. So very logical, you see how Prabhupada developing his ideas like that. Tadviri pranipattena pariparashnena sevaya. Like that. These are verses again and again. You know, all these verses like that. Yeah. One nice work is to go through Upadeshamrita and see how Prabhupada mentions ISKCON. Because many times he says, we've established ISKCON for this purpose. He's the founder. He makes the foundation. So this in Isopanishad, Upadeshamrita, you'll find Prabhupada many times mentions about what the purpose of society is, how it's supposed to be accomplished like that. That's his position. He's the founder, Acharya in ISKCON. And so we should see, you know, what we're supposed to be doing. But actually, it's very interesting. Someone mentioned this to me. I thought about it. Not one place in any of Prabhupada's books does he ever mention the GBC. Hang him. Yeah, it's interesting, you know. And also many other things. Because it seems to be, I would say, that he's saying this is an administrative position. We always have to have these things. And he's very important in letters, of course, and everything else. He establishes it like that. But maybe he's thinking of it as like administrative position, which may be changed according to time, place, and circumstance. But other things are more like fixed. You know, you go on in a society like that. Yeah. Yeah. But that's the point. Whatever Prabhupada, we have to find out what he actually says, his idea. And here, the way he's defining ISKCON here again and again is as the association of devotees who are, you know, talking confidentially to each other, exchanging gifts, inspiring each other in Krishna consciousness. And that's how he's defining ISKCON, as an association of devotees grouped about philosophical principles and practices like that. Yeah. Yeah. My God. Mayatatam midam sarvam. Okay. Execute. Usahan. Okay, what's next? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. In this Krishna consciousness movement, this is Tat-Ta Karma Pravartana. In this Krishna consciousness movement, we require everyone to rise early in the morning by 4 a.m. So how do you translate it in Spanish? We require? Yeah, in Spanish it says pedimos. Yeah, which means more like we ask. It's the Spanish translation. No, not we ask, we require. In this Krishna consciousness movement, we require everyone to rise early in the morning by 4 a.m., attend Mangalarti, or morning service, then read Srimad Bhagavatam, perform kirtan, and so forth. So there's the morning program. You know, see the deities, perform kirtan, Srimad Bhagavatam. Other things, seems like probably, I'm not mentioning them. They're nice, but maybe you can adjust that if you have to go on the altar, you have to cook. I remember, with Jayananda, he would go out early in the morning to buy vegetables and get, you know, donations. So he wasn't in Mangalarti a lot of times. But if you go with him, he was always chanting the song, kirtan, he would do the whole, everything there. He would driving me with him, he would be doing the Gurvastakam, and everything was there, you know. Then he'd come back and put everything away, and sometimes he would grab me and say, oh, Anuman, let's have a class, you know. And so I noticed Raganuga, everything was there. He had a full morning program every day, but he would adjust it because he was like spontaneously, I think it was spontaneously, attracted to the whole process like that, you know. It wasn't even like he was thinking, oh, I gotta have a class and stuff like that, you know. I've heard Prabhupada says, the only excuse for not coming to Mangalarti is an inability to crawl, right? So people coming down the stairs, crawling into Mangalarti, well, you're a little late, Prabhu. Like that. Sorry, I couldn't crawl any faster. Okay, it's all right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then of course, you know, if you hop up and down, I wrote a whole article called "The Medical Miracle of Mangalarti." So if you jump up and down, there's a circulatory system which pumps the blood, But there's also a thing called the lymphatic system, which has many, many also tubes like that. But there's no pump for that one. And the way it works, it has these valves that when you jump up and down, the fluid goes up, but it can't come back through because the valve closes like that. So when you jump up and down with your hands over your head, it moves all this lymphatic fluid and cleans your body like that. And I remember one time it was in Calcutta, and I was there for Swarup Dhamma Maharaj, the Bhaktivedanta Institute. And we were organizing the Second World Congress for Science and Religion. And he got a flat near the airport. And it was like, it was under construction. So it was like real low voltage, you know, one fan or something. And no windows yet, but had marble floors. Had an elevator shaft and no elevator. It was just a board in front of it. It was really kind of a strange situation, you know. And I was staying there struggling to get something done like that. You know, I had almost no money, you know. And it was hot, you know, my first summer in India, 1996. And so people who had been there, they told me, said, yeah, I've been here for 30 years, and this is the hottest summer I've seen like that. You know, it was my first summer in India. And the street dogs were complaining like that. And so I had to take buses. I couldn't even take a taxi sometimes. If you squeeze your wrist like that, try it, squeeze your wrist as hard as you can, as hard as you can. That's the pressure on a Calcutta city bus of the other passengers. I'm not kidding. It's just people, I mean, everybody, you know people, Prabhu. It's like you stare, you're 87% humidity, you know, your sweat's pouring off your face, you're looking at people there like this. What are you from, sir? You know, I'm from California. You know, get that. And the guy next to you is falling asleep and he's standing up like that, you know. And then when you want to get off the bus, you start kind of pushing, you know. You know, past all these sweaty bodies and stuff like that. You know? But it's bizarre. It's strange. Because there's a section for ladies where they can sit. And when ladies say this. When foreigners, like, when they want to get off, nobody touches them. This is a compression. And really, one couple of big professors, they went there and they couldn't believe this. His wife said when she was trying to get off, it was just somehow or other, everybody arranged to create this, like, you know, 2-millimeter thing like that, you know, because they were very impressed by that. You know, the lady was given her dignity, you know. So we were there struggling through all of this, and I was just fixing this thing of getting up, you know, from Mangal Arati, you know, like that. And so other people weren't getting up of our party and stuff like that, sleeping out, maybe myself, one, two more people out of 8-10 people. And I was maybe like, you know, 15 kilos less than I am now, because it was so hot you can't digest anything, you know. And it was typical. Then sometimes Maharaj was gone. I was there alone on the second story. I remember one time I went into the bathroom, closed the door, and then there was a nail pounded in to pull the door open, and I pulled it and it came out in my hand. Okay, and now these doors are new because they're, you know, they cut them and they didn't fit yet, so the door wouldn't open like that. Right there I am in the bathroom, and there's bars on the window. It's the second story. You can't hear a thing outside because the buses going by are so loud. You know. And Mara's not coming back for 3 days. You know? Yeah. So you're locked. Yeah, so, you know, and one girl, I remember the story then, that they closed the school down for the summer, and then the people couldn't find this little girl and never found her ever again. And next, when they opened the school, she'd been in the bathroom, a little girl passing the stool and urine or something, and she'd been afraid when they called out to say she was there, so she got locked in the bathroom. And they found her, she'd be eating her hair to try and survive. And funny, she starved to death and she would have her evaporated form. So I remembered that. they're gonna find me here like that, you know, stuff. Yeah. So then I put my fingers under the door, like stuffed them. So, oh my God, please help me. And I pulled and pulled and finally it opened like that. I came out, you know, like Hare Krishna, you know. So it was really tough, you know. I had a little Murti of Nrisimhadev, and even he was complaining like that. He was like, so on, you know. So fine, but I would get up, and I would you know, chant, you know, get up from Mangal Arati, you come there, you chant, you dance like a bear, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yeah. And your mind is going like, and your mind is saying, why are you doing this? What are you doing, you know? Because it's, you know, it's no, then this, and then you start to have mechanically. You start to have positive thoughts. Well, we're going to do this and that. You know, we'll get on the bus, and that person, we met that professor, and he invited us and stuff. And you see, it just, it works, just mechanically. You're chanting and dancing with your hands over your head in front of the deities, and okay, and then I couldn't dance too much because I just had to balance, because I went a little bit too far to one side or the other, I would just fall over like that. It was like, but I really learned a lot about prana, how the prana flows in the body and stuff like that. But Baba says, for every single technique in the Ashtanga Yoga system, there's a corresponding technique in the Bhakti Yoga system. So by chanting and dancing, we learn pranayama, playing the drums and stuff like that. I remember one time Buddhimanta wanted to go and take karate lessons, right? So Hansa Dutta said, okay, go with Hanuman Swami. It's okay. So we started taking our lessons in this Taekwondo school from Roger Bliss, the instructor's name, like that. And you know, I went to first degree black belt, but I went as a devotee, so I was wearing a white belt again, like that, you know, to go to school. And he knew a little bit. He was asking what my style was, and I said, "What's Awicharu? And this is our school sign, like that." He said, "I don't know these guys, you know, where they're from, you know." And so, you know, we're going on like that. And I didn't know, because it's a different style, you know, so I didn't know the techniques and stuff. So sometimes we were sparring like that, you know. And he would say, you know, and I don't know what it is, and maybe it's because you play the drum so much, but when you hit, it hurts, like that. So I said, okay, I'm sorry, like that. So I'm trying to find out, like that, you know. So yeah, like playing the drum, if you have to, and sometimes you have to hit somebody, just say some madman's about to stab one of the ladies to death, and you just like, you know, say it like that. Wow, weren't you doing kung fu? I don't know what I just play the drum, Prabhu, like that, you know. Yeah. But it's a fact. And you get like, you know, these abilities like that. So by following this process, you know, Mangalarti, you get up, chant Hare Krishna, put your hands over your head and dance, you know. And then you, all these things necessary, you know. So very important. Mangalarti. And then the kirtan and so forth. Okay, yeah, other things you got to do, no? But this is like the manga. To me, my priorities are chant 16 rounds. After that, next priority is follow the four principles. Because I figured if I even can't follow the four principles, I'm not going to go up chanting. And after that, full morning program. And many times Prabhupada's emphasizing this. You know? Okay, then you're ready. You know, practically speaking, it's impossible not to engage in devotional service at that point. It's just, you know, impossible. Yeah. And Prabhupada says guaranteed. Yeah. Success is guaranteed for the rigid practitioner. And he goes for a long section at the end on be confident. Utsahan nishchayat daryat. And this is daryat, bhaktisiddhanta, like that. We have to be convinced that by following this process, everything else will be accomplished. What's the Bengali for that? What does it go? Shraddha shabda. This word means Shraddha Shabda Vishvaskahe Sudhrida Nishchai Krishna Bhakti Koyala Sarva Karma Kritahai. Again and again. You learn the verses here, you'll have all these verses that Prabhupada uses like that. This word Shraddha, faith, means Vishvas, that one is confident that just by engaging in devotional service, everything else will become accomplished like that. That's what faith means. So you may have many doubts like that, but you're convinced that the process will solve them all. I don't understand. I don't know that, you know. But I know this process. You know, the process is perfect. Everything will work out like that. One time, Mother Nityarupa, next to the campus in Berkeley, it's one of the biggest universities in the world, and there's all these food carts there selling stuff. And we're chanting, horrible, maybe like eight brahmacharis, and she was selling books over there. You know, and I said, Krishna kind of revealed this to me. I was just noticing, and some Arabian graduate student was passing by. You know, and she stopped him. You know, and I sell books to him. And you can see he was feeling very superior because, you know, he's a PhD candidate. And of course, he's an Arab also, so he has this whole attitude towards women like that, you know. Here's a woman trying to preach Hindu religion to him. He's a Muslim like that. So right away, it was like iconographic situation. And I was watching, and he was like, you know, just kind of being sarcastic and defeating her arguments one after another like that, so on, you know. And then finally, I looked over, and he's walking away. His you know, Arabic Muslim ego, like that. I defeated this Hindu woman, you know. And she's going away. Then she says, "Well, I don't care what you say. This philosophy is perfect." It was just his ego, we were feminine, Magnus, his ego was this, he could not walk away from that, you know, so he went back, and now she was ignoring him like that, you know. So he was going on and on like that. It was perfect, you know. And so then I was just kind of seeing all this, you know, it was like a snob thing, you know. And then finally after about, I looked over, he's walking away with this book in his hand like this, and she's folding this money up and putting it in her hand like that, you know. So the intelligence like that, yeah. So again, I don't know, I can't defeat your arguments, but I'm convinced this philosophy is perfect like that, you know. And that's Madhyamadhikari. Arjuna has so many doubts, right? He has unlimited number of doubts and questions like that, but he's not presenting any more artificial doubts. These are honest doubts. And that's the difference. If for an initiation we'd make this thing, there's a phrase that many people are looking for God, but most people hope they don't find him. Right? Because you find him, you got to surrender like that, and so on. So now that's what initiation means, is you're saying, yeah, I have doubts, I have confusions, but I'm willing to listen and have them removed like that. I'm willing to expose them like that, not artificial doubts. Yeah? And so this is the confidence that just by engaging in the devotional service, everything else will be accomplished. Havi Krama Unarsho Steve. A lot about this, the whole purport. Text number 4. And then there's a section about giving and receiving gifts. And that's pretty straightforward. I think any special points here. The giving and receiving gifts, we discussed that a lot before. And here Prabhupada especially emphasizes confidential questions and answers, you know, more than giving and receiving gifts or giving and receiving prasadam like that. And he says, this is the situation, basically that the temple should organize one good feast, festival each week. And then our members and friends should invite the devotees to come during the week like that. And basically, you know, just, you know, good program on Sunday, nice home program. You can stay Krishna conscious. You know. One time Prabhupada said that the devotees, that they organize a good program, like nice puppet shows and kirtans, lectures, everything, nice program once a week. And all the rest of the devotees, the lawyers, the business people, everybody else will be able to do their job nicely the whole week like that. So on. And that's the duty of the devotees in the temple, is to give them one good solid program. And you see, many times people say, though, it's kind of like this, you know, you go Sunday, but if you have this in between, like a home program once a week, it's enough. It's enough. And it just keeps on going up like that. Yeah. Utsahan, dadati patagrinati. And next text is really central, maybe for us, the most central one. Krishnati Asya Giritam Manasa Veta. There are different levels of devotees, right? And this is really important thing to distinguish. The Madhyamadhikari, he distinguishes, you know, was it four classes of people? God, demons, innocent, and devotees. And so he worships God, avoids the demons, makes friendship with devotees, and shows mercy to the innocent, like that. And sometimes, of course, in devotees, because we're not purified, we have demoniac tendencies, we're attached to this and that, we're proud. It's okay, so then Madhyamadhikari means, this Prabhu is, let's not talk about that. Okay. So he knows how to avoid the different attachments, his God brothers and God sisters, and always stay in a friendly relationship like that. So Madhyamadhikari is the actual platform for advancement. Like that. With a little care, we can stay together and always be friendly. And be careful about things. Yeah. Then again, this is because here in this purport, it's where to me it was many years before I think I got it figured out. Because Prabhupada is talking about two kinds of initiation. He's talking about Harinam initiation and one room discussion in London. He's talking to this young professor of Sanskrit, maybe like 27, 28 years old. He's an intelligent person, he's polite, he's not exactly a devotee, but he's very polite, intelligent. And he says, so do you give diksha? Then Prabhupada says, yes, we give Harinam diksha first, like that. And later when we see that the students are more sincere, then we give them the Vedic diksha, like that. And it's a hard second initiation. He said, the first initiation is more or less experimental, like that, you know? And he says, but Prabhupada says, but Jiva Goswami says that in this age it's sufficient. like that. Harinam Diksha is sufficient, like that. And then, of course, if we follow it, if we do chant 16 rounds, follow the Four Principles like that. Because then the Maha Mantra becomes a Gayatri Mantra. It becomes in the mode of goodness. We're chanting the mode of goodness like that. But its purport, things are confusing because sometimes Prabhupada's talking about this and says, actually initiated. Well, people come to us and we give them Harinam. They're following the example of the devotees and we see they're sincere. We give them the Harinam Diksha. And when they're actually initiated, they should be given respect. Yeah, that's at least pay obeisances like that. That's the Madhyamadhikara, that's second initiation. So actually initiated, he's using there to mean second initiation like that. Yeah? So it's a subtle point, which otherwise is some of the ways things he's saying are confusing. Reading this, I mentioned this before, is that basically Prabhupada is saying at first initiation you're a Kanistadhikari, second initiation you're a Madhyamadhikari, you take sannyas to become a Goswami, you're Uttamadhikari. And people should respect you like this, and like that. It's just like, okay, Prabhupada, why don't we chant our Gayatri Mantra this time of day, this kind of thing, 6, 12, and 6. Thank you, Prabhupada. You know? So it's simplistic. But many things, devotional service is not a matter of imaginative ecstasy or sentimental speculation, but practical activity in the foreground of spiritual life. And that's what kind of distinguishes us, is we have a simple, clear process like that. You know? Is he a sannyasi or not? Okay, vacho vegam, manasakro da vegam, he is. To my basis, Prabhu. Like that. Yeah. What's in his heart? Okay, desires can still be there. Prabhupada says that. And then next text goes into the Uttamadhikari, which is, as far as describing here, Prabhupada is saying is Goswami, sannyasi. And can Uttamadhikari fall down? He says no. Yes, if he becomes envious, right? Yeah. Text number 3, I can find it here. Okay, you can find it here now. Text number 6. No. 4, 5, 6. It's not fall down. It's actually, you know, it's a result of being Vaishnava Aparad. Okay, text number 6. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Text number 6. Being situated in his original Krishna conscious position. Have I got it highlighted? Yeah. And he's especially talking about people who see the devotees from a materialistic point of view. It's how the Kanistadhikari should avoid seeing the Uttamadhikari from a material point of view. Maybe he's angry sometimes. Maybe he doesn't come from a high-class family. And Prabhupada talks about that a lot. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Okay. I'll finish off here. According to this formula, the Goswamis who are descendants of Nityananda Prabhu, because some people claim to be Goswamis because they're born in Nityananda's family, Nityananda Vamsa, and Sri Advaita Prabhu are certainly devotees. Like that. Yeah. But devotees coming from other families, he's talking about Western devotees, should not have been back up, just read the whole thing. Okay. Even if a devotee sometimes seems to engage, the Goswami title is not the monopoly, it's a monopoly of pure devotees. Thus we speak of the 6 Goswamis headed by Rupa Sanatana, Prabhupada names them. Practically speaking, they have become Mohammedans, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made them Goswamis. The title Goswami is not hereditary. The word Goswami refers to one who can control his senses, who is master of his senses. A devotee is not controlled by the senses, but is a controller of the senses. Like that. Consequently, he should be called Swami or Goswami, even though he is not born in a Goswami family. According to this formula, the Goswamis who are descendants of Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita are certainly devotees, but devotees coming from other families should not be discriminated against. Indeed, whether the devotee comes from a family of previous acharyas or from an ordinary family, they should be treated equally. One should not think, oh, here is an American Goswami, and discriminate against him. Nor should one think, oh, here is a Nityananda Vamsa Goswami. There is an undercurrent of protest against our awarding the title to the American Vaishnavas of the Krishna Consciousness Movement of title of Goswami. Sometimes people flatly tell American devotees that their sannyas or title of Goswami is not bona fide. However, according to the statement of Sri Rupa Goswami in this verse, an American Goswami and a Goswami in a family of Acharyas are non-different. On the other hand, a devotee who has attained the title of Goswami but is not born of a Brahmana father or a Goswami father or a Goswami in the family of Nityananda or a Vaita Prabhu should not be artificially puffed up by thinking that he has become a Goswami. We should remember that as soon as we become materially puffed up, he immediately falls down. This Krishna consciousness movement is a transcendental science. There is no room for jealousy. This movement is for the Paramahamsas who are completely free from all jealousy. Parama Nirmatsaranam, first verse of the Bhagavatam. One should not be jealous whether he is born in the family of a Goswami or title has been awarded to him. As soon as one becomes envious, he falls from the platform of Paramahamsa. Okay? So be careful, even if you're a Paramahamsa. Yeah. But it can't happen by accident. That's the other point. Because it's an example of Mars Bharata. It says he fell down because he accidental fall down because of associating with this deer. And Prabhupada says no in the purport. On the level of bhava, there's no possibility of accidental fall down. It was because of he intentionally was offensive, like that. Yeah, he intentionally was neglecting Krishna to play with this deer like that. And because of that, it happened like that. It's a very important point. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hayandakar. I'll probably use that example to make this point that, yeah, when that level of bhava, Maya's there, but it's very clear. So there's no possibility of an accidental fall down. But if you want to use your free will like that and neglect Krishna, I'm busy, Krishna, I'm playing with my deer, then, okay, you know, that can happen like that. So even on that level, every level, and we become frightened when we hear that. We become frightened. Jitaraga Baya Krodha. Because we realize, my God, I have to take responsible for my own spiritual life. Yeah. But when you do that, wow, Krishna's interested. Because you're as good as Krishna. Krishna cannot tell what you're going to do. And therefore he's interested. What are they going to do? Because they have free will. And nobody's not forcing them to stay in Vaikuntha by pain or fear or pleasure. You know, they're here because they want to be here. And I'm doing what I want to do. And everybody loves everybody else. Vaikuntha ki. Yamatsura Goswami is ki. So any questions like that? Comment? Yes, sir. Yeah. No, creating doubts artificially just to avoid like accepting that what you know is true, like that. You have bona fide doubts, like I think they call it doubts, bona fide questions like that. Yeah? For example, one time I was in Peru, and the subject of polygamy came up. And they were talking about actually how it went on there is very naturally. And, you know, some business guy, Baisha, and his wife has four kids, and she doesn't want to have any more kids. They're Catholic and stuff, and so he's still agitated. So then he marries his secretary, who's like 22 or something like that, you know. And then he divorces his first wife, but she never remarries. And then the two don't talk for 1 year. But after 1 year, they became very good friends or whatever like that, you know. And then he has two wives. He takes care of both families. He visits both of them. And everybody starts to get along. You know, so they tell me this is like what happens there. I said, okay, that's polygamy normally. And so then one kind of like Swedish girl or something in a tourist there, she said, okay, polygamy is okay if you also accept polyandria. What do you think polyandria is? You know, polygamia? It means one girl with several husbands. Is it okay? Okay, but I couldn't say, hey, what can you say? It's like, well, oh yeah, I was saying, like, yeah, if we're going to allow people polygamy for the men, then what can you say? It's kind of like, you know. So I didn't know. I didn't know the answer like that. And I had a doubt about the philosophy like that. But, you know, I was convinced, okay, eventually this will be resolved like that. I'll understand what it is. But yeah, it's kind of like an honest question. Well, why do you allow polygamy if you don't allow polyandria, you know, like that? What's the answer? And where is it? Where can you find the answer to this question? You don't know what the problem is? Well, on the way back to Vaikuntha, all the Pandavas fell down, except Yudhishthira, because he committed a sin. Even Draupadi had committed a sin. What was her sin? Huh? Yeah. So that was it. Yeah. Prabhupada says it's the story of the Prachetas. The Prachetas, and they married one girl, so it was polyandry. And that's one of the examples that convinced Draupadi to do it. She came back. She's like 12 years old. They bring her back, you know, to their where they're hiding out. And then Bhima says, she says, "Oh, Mataji, we got something really nice today when we were begging," like that. Then Kunti says, "Well, whatever it is, share it equally," like that. And then Bhima says, "But it's a woman." So she turns around, and Draupadi is like shocked. And then Kunti grabs her and says, no, of course not, like that. No, you're married to Arjuna, like that. Don't be, you're safe here with us. But then Yudhishthira says, "But hey, you know, a dharma can't stay in my mind, and you said this, and that's our law. Our law is that whatever you say, that's the truth. And you said this, and a dharma can't stay in my mind," like that, you know. And that doesn't impress me as a dharma, you know. And so then Draupadi is saying something like, says, I don't care, you know, what your law is. I'm not marrying five guys, you know. Forget it, you know. Yeah, but she's inclined. They're all pretty handsome, you know. And then, but she said, "But no way, forget it," you know. So Yudhishthira then quotes the example of the Prachetas, like that, and how they were engaged in power. She, the girl, was married to all of them, like that. And that's finally was the thing. She said, "Well, okay," you know. And of course, it's a transcendental, but it's a supernatural relationship, everything else like that. But then the story, then, probably the purport, he says that the problem is that men are from Mars and women are from. Yeah, so this is a different psychology. You know, men hear with one ear, and women hear with two ears. You may not have known that. They're tests. They're tests on this phenomenon. It's just different. Men and women think about things differently. It's not just the gross body. It's also the subtle body. The subtle body, the software you have a different operating system than these guys do, right? Opera. MS-DOS and opera, you know, so it works differently, yeah? So the problem is that female psychology, it's very gratifying to give all of your affection to one man. This is very gratifying for feminine psychology. It's just the way the software system is designed. My daddy, he's my daddy, like that, back off, you know. It's my husband. And me, it was amazing how jealous women can be of their husbands like that. You know, it's amazing. It's just like, but no, it's just like that. And it works. You know, so you're married, you go to some program, and then, you know, you're talking, like joking with some girl or something, and you notice your wife's watching you like that. It's like yeah, oh boy, you know, like that. When we get home, we're going to have a little bit of a lecture here, I know, like that, you know. You really like joking with her, don't you, Prabhu? You know, so okay. So then, it's a very natural arrangement. Though. You know that I've got to be careful with other women. I'm married, like that and stuff. And am I, you know? So it's the way it works. Everything works together. So then finally, in terms of my son, women are very attached to their grown-up sons. But he takes sannyas. Everything else, her heart goes with him. So this is a very natural situation, but that's the fact. And even Draupadi couldn't do it. You know, she could not restrain herself and equally give affection to all of her husbands like that. When she wanted to get something done, she would go to Bhima and start crying and say, "None of the rest of my husbands love me like you do. You're the only one who really loves me. All the rest are like, you know, don't care of me." And Bhima would like, you know, "Well, what do you want? Yeah, I'll take care of you. This guy's bothering me. Go kill him." You know, okay, all right, I'll kill him. Yeah. But it was all a show, no? It was all a show. So in the end, Prabhupada says, only a very qualified girl can control herself and can keep equally affectionate to all of her husbands. One second, finish the point. One second, yeah. So, and if it doesn't do that, then this conflict will come because of that, like that. So finally I read that, and that's the problem, you know, so that the doubt, you know, was removed, like that and stuff. So we can have these natural doubts about the philosophy, the culture, but like, not artificially, like, "Oh, I don't believe this, Prabhu, on that," you know, because we're trying to avoid surrender. Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah, as a Pandava. Yeah. Yeah, wife. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 No, there are other cultures in the world that practice polyandria. You know, and, you know, for example, on islands where you want to reduce the population, they have polyandria like that. There are places where it goes on for very practical reasons, you know, like that. Yeah. Again, on islands, if you start having too many children, it doesn't work, you know. So you'll find many times island cultures is polyandria, because then the relation reduces the population. Yeah. Yeah. So any final questions? Okay. The last question, comment. Yeah. Wow. Mother, what's her name? Mother Mula Prakriti. She said she asked Prabhupada one time in Los Angeles, you're doing a darshan like in his room, how can we tell if a devotee's fall down was accidental or was conscious? You know, conscious. Accidental means basically probably saying example, you just become confused. You lose your perspective, your intelligence. And he says, like, so you're with some people and something's happening, this is happening, that is happening. You take a cigarette and you smoke, and next day you're saying, why did I do that? You know, like that. He gives an example. So usually it comes from bad association, and we become confused, like that. And it's not, we didn't know, like that. It wasn't a clear choice, we just were confused. But when you have the clear choice and you make the wrong choice, that's, you know, not accidental fall down, you know? Of course, then if you're a good person, probably says you lament and you say, "Wow, if I'd been more careful, that wouldn't have happened." But you go through it again and again, and you realize and you say, "Well, hey, you know," and Krishna tells you, "No, okay, you could have been Superman and avoided that, but come on, get back to work. Don't do it again. Be more careful like that." You know? And so that's the main thing, is just that we become confused like that. Like Ajamil, of course, is one of the greatest examples. Daksha was a very pious person, but he was offensive. He wasn't sinful. You probably find no sin in Daksha's character, but he was offensive, right? In Ajamil, practically speaking, the idea is you won't find any offense in his character, right? But he was sinful. He was really sinful, like that. You see, he just became confused like that. You know, for what? For 40 years, 50 years. One devotee, I'll mention his name. he was a pujari. He went to Vrindavan very early in the early days of ISKCON there and was serving Radha Shama Sundar and so many things, and he had tuberculosis growing in his back, and I remember sometimes he had diarrhea, he had to go on the altar even still and do the artik and just keep from, you know, having diarrhea while he was doing the artik and then run off afterwards. It was like a really difficult situation those days. But he came back to the United States, he's a brahmachari. And he got, you know, sense gratification, he got married, then he moved to Santa Cruz, and they opened a restaurant, a prasadam restaurant, then after a while it became a vegetarian restaurant, and then he became a Christian restaurant. And then, okay, yeah, finished with that, okay. You know. But then they're having Prabhupada's disappearance festival in Berkeley, which is about maybe an hour and a half away up from the coast. And one of the ladies wanted to go. But her husband was working that night, so she asked him, "Can you take me? Can you go with me?" And he said, "Well, you know, I was a devotee before, but I've gone beyond that now. I've moved on like that and stuff. And it was very nice, but I've gone on to something better." But she was like really pushing him, and for social reasons, he had to like go with her, you know. But he told me this whole thing. And he said, "But he was really convinced, I'm not going to get involved with the Hare Krishnas again. I'll go there, it's a social thing, I'll be polite, but I'm not going to get involved with anything like that, you know." So he went there. And what we have a name for him here, like, some name like that, Purushottam Das, okay. So we went there, and a big festival, so many devotees, small in San Francisco, were there, maybe like 600 devotees, and they had Prabhupada's Vyasasan decorated like a swan, and, you know, candles everywhere, you know. And people were saying, "Oh, Purushottam Prabhu!" And he said, Paul, oh, yes, Paul, good to see you," like that, you know, like that. So he's being very neutral to everybody, everything was cool, you know. And all his force fields up like that. You know, everything up. No, I'm not going to eat. And I'm not going to eat. I have my own sandwich here. I brought it. Vegetarian. You know, so on. He said, but then he forgot one little thing. You know, Johnny Voss said this in Mayapur. He said, the deity never forgets any service you do for him like that. So he said he was there, and this finally came time for the big aarti for Prabhupada. And he said the pujari was fanning Prabhupada, the whole aarti. He went up with the chamara, and he said by the time he went up, the time the chamara came down, everything blew apart. Because he remembered Baba, not just the brains, he remembered the same thing with Radha Shama Sundar when he was struggling to serve them in this heat and everything else. Like that, just that, you know, the whole bhava came back. One little crack. He said, it's this blue air. It was amazing. It just went up, and the whole thing came down. It was just, he went outside in front of the temple. He's sitting there crying. And when the person came out, he said, Purushottam, Paul, what's wrong? He said, Purushottam. He said, that was just it. It was just that he'd just forgotten Krishna, you know? Maybe he gave him a little, he was a little bit gross or something like that, accidental. But that's what Prabhupada told Munda Prakriti. She said, Prabhupada thought for a second, you know, is it, how can we tell if the fall down was accidental? And Prabhupada said, Prabhupada was quiet for a second. He said, if they come back, it was accidental. Okay? Yeah? And if you stay away, it's because you did something. And Krishna won't forget you. Krishna will go on. He doesn't forget it like that. But yeah, maybe you got to, you know, smoke a pile of cigarettes this high before you come back. I mean, there are devotees who have big administrative positions who've had other devotees beaten, physically beaten like that. Repeatedly they've done this, you know, and they've gone. And it's been years before they came back like that. And they smoked a pile of cigarettes this big. They've suffered so much before they came back like that. So Prabhupada said that, Yamaraj, you know, very careful with this position. Like that. So that's the main thing, is this. Whether or not we were conscious of it, and we made that conscious choice. Yeah? Okay. So, Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki. Arti ki. Next is.